Good morning, everybody. It's so awesome to be in the presence of God and to be here with each one of you this morning. I appreciate your faithfulness and for being on the call with us today. What a blessing it is to be able to be together and to be able to pray together and praise the Lord together. You know, one of the things that I want to share to you might be kind of a little bit foreign to you, so I want you to kind of bear with me today as we talk about really the Word of God. And I don't know about you guys, but did any of you watch the Bible last night?
Some of it.
I thought it was great. I missed the very beginning, so I've got to go back and catch it, but we DVR'd it. But I was just so full of faith. I was really exhausted yesterday by the time that came on, and I was so filled with faith after I was watching that, and I just was just from looking at the actors' faces, and I thought how incredible it is that each one of us, we get to live in that presence of God. We get to experience the victory and the freedom of God's salvation, and we didn't have to be slaves for all of our lives, that many of us, the Lord called at a younger age, and we never really, for most of us that I believe, at least on the call, we never were actually slaves in the physical sense, but we were slaves in the spiritual sense. And the part about the Exodus and just that always just amazes me that God was so faithful to bring his people, even when it looked like there was no way for them to turn around or didn't know what to do when they got to their Red Sea. They didn't really know. And I was thinking about, well, what is my Red Sea? And what do I need to have more faith in? If we acted in the faith that Moses had, I mean, he had to go back and face a place where he was a known murderer. He could have been punished severely and put to death. And that, you know, he had anger issues and frustration issues and all these things. And the Lord did a work in his life and then told him to go back and face the thing that he was running from his whole life. And not only because he faced that, he was able to create one of the greatest acts of freedom by allowing the Lord to work in and through him by embracing his calling. And I know many of us on the call are direct sellers, and it's so important that we embrace our calling with that fervency and that we don't let the fear stop us, because that's what the enemy tries to use as our greatest distraction, is the fear. When I was researching and searching the word for today's study, one of the things that came to my mind is Matthew 7, verse 24. And it says, "So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." And then I want us to continue, and I want you to listen very carefully about what it says. "It was founded on the rock, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, and does not do them, will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great and complete was the fall of it." Now, a lot of times people believe that when we build our house on the rock, it's faith, or it's the Bible, or it's the Word of God, and they're not really sure exactly what the rock is. And I want us to be really, really clear on this. And it was ringing hard, just so strong and hard and loud in my mind when I was watching that last night, because I thought, you know what, that really is what we need to build our faith on, and we need to build our lives on. And I want to go back and read it again, because a lot of people are confused about what this rock really is. "So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them will be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock." The rock is actually hearing the words of God and acting upon them. That's where the strength and the fortitude comes from. It's not building it on the church. It's not building it on anything else but the word and acting on it. It's so important that we keep that very, very clear. And when we hear God's voice, and we confess his words, and we do both of those, and then we act it out in faith, this is when we're going to be really successful. And do you know that the Lord wants us to do the entire scripture, not just pick and choose? I've been in so many different circles lately where people are picking and choosing what verses they want to use or to emphasize. And my heart breaks because I see that they're missing out on so many things and they're getting a very distorted view of the word. So I'm going to ask you this morning to give yourself a spiritual checkup and ask yourself, are you really hearing the word and are you acting on it? One of the greatest things that we can do is we can really meditate on the word. Go over it over and over and over again. It's so important that we really focus on the things that God wants for us. I thought, what would happen if we really did act on our calling like Moses did? Can you imagine if we had even just 20 or 30 Moseses right now in our world? And what's different from our calling than it was for Moses? Absolutely nothing. We don't need a burning bush. We have the living, breathing Word of God in our hands or available to us on our phones or our computers. We have more access to the Scripture than any other generation has. It tells us in Psalm 1 that blessed, happy, fortunate, profitable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice and plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where the sinners walk, nor sits down where the scornful gather. There's so many scriptures around inactivity. And unfortunately, that's one of the greatest things as I coach people day to day, that people will give their dream, their goal, their calling lip service, but they're not actually doing the work that is required to receive what God has already wanting to give you. It's already given to us in the Word, so all we have to do is we have to believe it, confess it, and act on it. It tells us in Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord and on his precepts, the instructions, and the teaching of God. He habitually meditates, which means ponders and studies, by day and night. Do we even take out a few minutes in the morning and in every evening and even just read the word, let alone ponder it, talk to him about it, let it get deep inside of our spirit man? And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its seasons. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither. And I love this part. Everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. If you're waiting for your promotion in your business, if you're waiting for that next level in leadership, if you're waiting for that next customer to come your way, this is one of the first success tips that we can definitely take and use. We need to definitely hear the word, meditate on it, and start acting on it. Now, it also tells us in the word that we want to make sure when we're giving ourselves that spiritual checkup to make sure that we're depending on God and not on our own flesh. That is told to us in Philippians 3:3. We need to have our confidence in Christ. We need his wisdom, his strength. We need to allow Christ to work through us because he's alive in us. We need to die to ourselves, thinking we have to do it all ourselves. But on the other hand, many people become sluggards, and there's also words of wisdom in the Bible about that as well, that we don't just sit and say, okay, Lord, bring the people to me. Okay, Lord, I'm waiting for my promotion, and we're sitting in our office or we're sitting, thinking about doing business, or we're sitting on the sofa watching television. He expects us to do the plans that he's given us, and he will work out the rest. The favor will go out before us. Tells us in Matthew 6:32-33, for the Gentiles wish for and they crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them. So we don't have to try to do it in our own flesh. The heavenly Father knows that we need them. But he also tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his way of doing things and being right, and then all these things will be taken together and they'll be given to you in addition to the other good and profitable things he wants to give us. In Philippians 3:3, it says, "For we as Christians are the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ and put no confidence or dependence on who we are or what we are in the flesh and on our outward privileges." So we need to not necessarily just rely on our five senses, because the power and the wisdom and everything we need is going to come through our spirit man. And then we just walk it out in our meat suit that we're in. It tells us in Romans 10:17 that, let me go there and read that too, because I want to make sure that I quote that accurately for you. Sorry about that. It's taking me a long time to get there. I apologize. It says, "So faith comes by hearing, and what is heard comes by preaching of Christ." So faith comes by hearing the word and hearing the word. We want to make sure that we are hearing the word from the pulpit, from Bible studies, from our own word. And then it tells us in the word that we're to do it. So I'm going to ask you, because it says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So it's not just like, okay, God wants us to hear the word. He wants us to make sure that we're really taking the time to meditate on it. So how much time do you really meditate on God's word and his covenant that he's promised you as a covenant partner? A great confession to start thinking about today is, you know, today and tomorrow I will work in the strength and the ability of Christ. That's one of the things that I try to hold on to each and every day. If I'm struggling with sickness or I'm struggling with pain or frustration on not being able to accomplish what I'd like to accomplish as quickly as I'd like to accomplish it in the word or in my work, I just go back to that and I meditate on the word. I act on the word. I believe in the word of God. And then I start praising him. Praise is so important. And I know that we've talked about some of these things in the past, but the Lord just keeps laying them on my heart that there must be someone on the call today that really needs to take their game to the next level. They need to meditate on the word, what the word says. Can you imagine, not only if we embraced our calling with the fervency, And even if we were fearful, because, you know, it tells us that Moses stammered and he was nervous about what he would say and how he would speak, so he brought his brother Aaron with him. If we really overcame our fears, if we really acted on what God told us to do, how important our lives would become in building the kingdom. It tells us in Psalm 44, 4 through 6, it says, "You are my king, O God. Command victories and deliverance for Jacob," who is also for us. "Though you shall be, through you shall we push down our enemies. Through your name shall we tread them under who rise up against us. For I will not trust in and lean on my own bow or the tools that I have. Neither shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our foes, and you have put them to shame who hate us." The Lord, it takes care of everything for us. But before we could ever prosper, we have to believe that God wants us to prosper. And I think sometimes we have a fear of success, as well as sometimes a fear of failure. Mm-hmm. So I want you to take and meditate on the scriptures on prosperity this week. Think about what the Lord says, because, you know, every seed produces its own like harvest. Prosperity is going to produce prosperity. So if you are meditating, confessing, believing, and praising God for your prosperity, I know that God will provide. He promises us that over and over again. He tells us that his word is an incorruptible seed in 1 Timothy. So I'm going to encourage you to stop trying to struggle and do things in your five senses, but also make sure that you're not being a sluggard, thinking, hoping, contemplating about how you're going to make your dream or fulfill your calling in your own physical strength. God expects us to use his tools and the skills that he's given us, but not to trust in them, but in God. Just like when David was a shepherd boy, do you really think that it was David's skill that he killed the bear and he killed the lion? No. Do you think it was his skill that he slayed Goliath? No. And he acknowledges that. But on the other hand, if he would have just stood there before Goliath and said, okay, here I am. I'm thinking about I want to serve God and I want to fulfill my calling. So I'm hoping that God comes through. So I think I'm going to pray about this and I'm going to sit here and we'll see what happens. Would anything have happened with Goliath? Sure, he would have took action and he would have clobbered him. But instead he put his faith in God. He took the tools and the skills that God gave him and he acted on them, but had his complete trust that it wasn't in the slingshot, it wasn't in the stone, it was in God Almighty. God gives us the victory. God gives us the victory. He saves us from our enemies, and he puts shame to those that have come against us. So I want you to meditate on God's word. I want you to really think about those scriptures that tell us about the prosperity that he has for us. Think about the word and how it applies to our lives. You know, it also tells us that our soul, that we would prosper as our soul prospers. That's your mind, your will, and emotion. So if you've got toxic thoughts coming in, that's going to get in your way. So if you start thinking those thoughts, we are to take captive of those. That's something that we have control over through Jesus. It's not up to us to say, well, I don't know why I always think that, or I'm going to pray that that goes away. No, it's your responsibility to take those captive. It tells us in John 14:21, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show him and reveal and manifest myself to him. And I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. If you are questioning, if you're hearing the voice of God, here's your success formula as well. Meditate on God's word. Keep his commandments. And trust that he will show up for you each and every time. He wants to live his life through us. He wants to do it through us. Don't block him by your toxic thoughts or not spending time meditating. You know, God and his word gives us faith to our spirit, love to our heart. It gives us the power to be born again. It gives us the healing tools and the divine authority over the darkness. And it builds Christ-likeness in us. Another key thing that I want to bring up in our study time today, because it's just been really heavy on my heart, is a lot of times we don't believe the word of God. And I know that sounds silly, but a lot of times we'll ask our neighbor's opinion or even our children's opinion, and we'll move out on that versus trusting what the word of God says. And one of the things that was brought to my attention yesterday was that a lot of times we don't believe the word of God because we don't believe the words that we say to ourselves. So don't allow that to affect how we look at and believe the word of God. Become a person of your word so that you can trust your words, because it will increase your faith and increase your faith in the word of God. Don't let Satan steal the word from you. In the parables in the New Testament, it talks over and over about the word being stolen. That's what the enemy wants to do, because then he knows that you are powerless. Watch yourself prosper financially. Watch yourself move forward in the next few weeks as you take and you really meditate on the word, you act on the word, and you believe the word. And then after that, you praise God. Even if you don't see it, start activating your faith in a much, much bigger way. It tells us, and here's just a couple of verses that we can get started with, and I want to encourage you to look up your own verses and then to share with us, because I know in my heart of hearts, God is going to be prospering you in amazing ways in the next couple of weeks. Be faithful to this. be faithful to meditating on the Word, acting on the Word, believing the Word, and praising God. And then post on the Christian Direct Seller Facebook page, because we want to praise God with you. We want to celebrate God with you. But here's a couple of verses on prosperity. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Focus on prosperity. It tells us in Isaiah 1:19, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, remember the Lord our God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It doesn't mean he's going to drop it into your office as you're just sitting there thinking about how you should make your phone calls or who could you call for appointments. Of course he's going to be faithful. If you're really seeking him and he knows you're going to take action, he's going to give you those things because he wants you to be successful. But realize he's given you the ability already to become wealthy. I love the fact of that verse in Isaiah 1:19 that says, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. So you're going to have absolutely the best of everything. Mary, you had a verse that you shared before we started the recording. Would you share that with us? Because I think this is really important at this point, going back to the fear and the courage and not really sure about moving forward. Would you share that with us, Mary?
Yes. But you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. 2 Chronicles 15:7.
How powerful is that? Now, Mary had no clue what we were going to be talking about today, and the Lord had laid that on her heart to share that with us this morning. And he's so faithful. He's working in all of our lives. And I know that he does want to prosper the work of your hands. He wants to prosper us in ways that we could never even imagine. And we do need to take courage, because the Lord's given us great, great, mighty courage. You know, the Lord's laid on my heart some different confessions as well. So I want to share those with you before we turn off the recording for our prayer time today, because I want you to stand on these promises as well. We are women and men of significance. We are God's chosen because we know who we are in Christ, not in our own strength. So here's some great confessions for you. I am who God says I am. If you're confused and you're not sure what God says you are, or who God said you are, I want to encourage you to get out your word, start reading it, and look for those verses that says what God says you are. I have what God says I have. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. A whole new world has opened up to me in Christ. I am born of God. Old habits, attitudes, controlling influences are broken and cut away from my life by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I have victory because I am in Christ. I am more than a conqueror because I am in Christ. I'm righteous. I'm strong. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. No curse will ever be able to settle on me, my family, or my children. Christ has redeemed me from all iniquity. I am free. Bitterness, depression, sadness, shame, guilt, self-pity, anger are all cut away from me because I'm in Christ. I am victorious. The life of Christ is in me. I'm God's girl. I am his workmanship. I'm created in Christ. I rule and reign in life because of Christ. I'm a doer of the word, and I am who God says I am. I am complete in Christ. I am strong in Christ. I am free and blessed and a winner. I am a man or a woman of significance. I want you to definitely listen to the replay. If you need to write those confessions down, that'd be a great thing to do. And I also want you to know that I do have a resource on my website that is called The Word on Business, Speaking Success Scripturally. And it has almost, I think, a half hour, 45 minutes, maybe even an hour of different confessions broken down into the different aspects of your business and your life, and it's all speaking the scripture. because I know how powerful this is. I want you to be successful. Now is your time. Now is your time to be the Moses of your direct selling business, the Moses of your generation, the Moses of your community. God has called you. He's given you his word. He wants to do mighty, amazing things in you. And he wants it to move from just wishing and thinking to activity.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that the power, the rock, if we build our lives on the rock by hearing the word and acting on it, we know that we can count on anything in the Bible as truth, and the Lord wants to live that out in us, and we can count on that. Well, I hope that this touched your heart this week, and I look forward to being with you next week. I'm going to turn off the recording, and we're going to move into prayer time together.